Hello, this is Charles Shepherd of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about American model and actress Evelyn Nesbit, the rise and fall of America's first Gibson girl. The popular printed image of the Gibson girl was the personification of an American feminine ideal, as portrayed for more than 20 years in the satirical pen and ink illustrated stories created by illustrator Charles Dana Gibson. Now, some people argue that the Gibson girl was the first national standard for feminine beauty. The artist himself saw his creation as representing thousands of American girls from all over the country. Over time, many models, including Gibson's fetching English wife, Irene Langhorne, inspired new versions of the Gibson girl, but the very first was the young American beauty Evelyn Nesbit, who at the tender age of 16 had already become one of New York artists' favorite models. Gibson met Evelyn while visiting photographer Rudy Eichenmeyer's studio and was at once enchanted. He became obsessed with capturing Evelyn's fascinating combination of innocence and sexuality as the basis for his new pictorial concept, The Gibson Girl. Now, the circumstances that led to Evelyn modeling at Eichenmeyer's studio at such a very young age were rather sad. Her mother found occasional work, but letting the beautiful youth model for local artists soon proved to be the surest way to pay the rent. Her daughter was an almost instant success, and as word about this beautiful girl spread, she was offered a role on Broadway as a dancer in the new production, Floridora. It was as a chorus girl at 16 that she attracted the attentions of internationally acclaimed architect Stanford White. Stanny, as his friends called him, had an eye for beauty and wasted no time inviting her for champagne and chocolate after the show at his elegantly decorated West 24th Street apartment. It was that very evening that Evelyn first sat in the apartment's red velvet swing. Evelyn dated numerous prominent men after that, but claimed until the very last of her life that Stanny was the only man I ever loved. One suitor was more persistent than all the rest, the young Harry Thaw, son of Pittsburgh coal and railroad baron. Thaw had routinely jabbed his silver spoon at whomever and whatever had gotten in his way. From birth, his history was one of temper tantrums, public fits, and violent outbursts. After a grand tour of Europe with him, Evelyn finally gave in, and the two were married on April 4, 1905, shortly before her 20th birthday. Well, all went well for the newlyweds during their first year together. Outwardly, they seemed like an ideal couple, a Gibson girl with her young industrialist tycoon husband. On the evening of June 25, 1906, the couple went to Madison Square Garden to attend playwright Edgar Allan Wolfe's Mamselle Champagne, and then ate dinner in the Garden's Café Martin. It was a beautiful evening, a perfect evening, until Thaw suddenly saw Stanford White rise from a nearby table and speak to the bandleader. As White sat back down at his own table, the band struck up the song, I Could Love a Million Girls. Thaw, imagining this moment to be an intentional mockery of his relationship with Evelyn, was overcome with anger. He raced to White's table, and as Stanford looked up, Thaw pulled out his derringer and shot White three times, point blank, in the face, killing him instantly. This high society murder and the subsequent trial of the century sent New York society into a tailspin. Thaw's family, realizing that their only son's future was seriously in jeopardy, begged Evelyn to testify on his behalf. Evelyn was not at all inclined to help him a whit. However, the family's promise of a quick divorce and a $1 million gift changed her mind, and she spoke passionately on behalf of him. Thaw was acquitted. As promised, Evelyn received her divorce. But after that, the family reneged on any monetary settlement and left her essentially penniless. Down but not out, Evelyn rebounded by going back to the theater to do vaudeville, and then on to the silent movies. More than 30 years later, Nesbit's old studio, Fox, rehired her as a consultant on The Girl in the Red Velvet Swing. Evelyn retired from public life in 1956 and lived quietly in Santa Monica until her death at 82 in 1967. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepherd, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.